a judge glared down from his bench at a prospective juror. "And just why is it," he asked, "that you don't want to serve on this jury?" The man replied, "Well, Your Honor, I'm biased. One look at that man convinced me that he is guilty." The judge scowled and replied, "That man is not the defendant. He's the district attorney." That prospective juror was almost certainly right. The district attorney was undeniably guilty of something. Lawyers are supposed to know justice, but looking at their profession, even from ancient times, they're infamous for twisting the laws to benefit themselves, even if that means getting clearly guilty criminals off scot-free. The briefest glance at today's judicial system would convince any unbiased, genuinely Christian person that our system is compromised, crooked, and corrupted. Justice, in quotes, whatever that means in our smoke and mirrors world, is what one gets if one can afford to pay the best lawyers. It may not be just at all, but whatever it is, those who can pay the most get the most profitable judgments. We all know this is way wrong. The root of this travesty is the fact that too few of our citizenry, legal and illegal, know enough and respect, fear God enough to value His opinion on their behavior. Imagine, if you can, what this world would look like if people just stopped lying, even if just for a day. I'm not saying that people should speak aloud, truthfully, whatever thought is in their minds. Not at all. People not only should always tell the truth, but police their thoughts and words to mirror the mind, heart, and words of Christ Jesus, our Lord and God. If people truly sought to follow God's ways, then people would shut up, be silent, and only speak what is edifying, uplifting, and life-giving to others. The snarky, libelous, vile, obscene trash-talking that fills our social media feeds has only one consequence: the ripping apart of our national unity and identity. The most recent and significant travesty of justice was just delivered by the Supreme Court. Six justices plain ignored the plain text of the Constitution and the congressional laws ruling that President Trump's tariffs are illegal. Three of those justices should know better. Some of them probably do know better. But for whatever reasons, they are compromised, bought off, or threatened to agree to a patently obvious unconstitutional ruling. We may never know the real reasons, but God knows. The very fact that our nation's highest court's justices can be swayed to abandon true justice reveals the effects of the plague raging across our country. People have forgotten God and His Word. Though lots believe in God, they don't know Him in the least. They may even quote some verses from the Holy Bible. But to them, the Bible is neither holy nor binding on their lives. They're too busy striving to achieve the American dream, whatever that is, and however it's now defined. Living a humble life in integrity is not most people's life goal these days. Pursuing power over others, fame, and fortune is the total of many people's goals. Those who seemingly reach them find it a lonely, empty, and unfulfilling existence. When they're honest with themselves, they question everything. There must be more to life than this. The fact is, there is a vast universe more. Haggai, whom the Lord spoke through to the first wave of people who returned to the promised land of Judea and Samaria after the Babylonian captivity, pointedly accused them of forgetting God, the one who had created them, brought them out of Egypt, and now centuries later from exile in Babylon. They came back to the land after 70 plus years to naturally find their old homes broken down, roofs collapsed, rubble and ruin as far as the eye could see. They set about repairing their houses so they could live in them again. Nary a thought was given to repairing the temple of God. The glorious temple, one of the wonders of the ancient world, had been sacked, pillaged, and flattened by Nebuchadnezzar's conquest. The elderly who'd lived through that catastrophe could not help but weep when they remembered the glories before compared to the heaps of rubble that greeted them now. Of course, their own houses needed rebuilding after they finally figured out where they were, since landmarks and streets were now all but unrecognizable. They just ignored the temple of God, the very God who had just, in inexplicable mercy, brought them back to the land, though they hardly deserved it, occupied a far back corner of their minds, if even there. And the consequence of forgetting, ignoring God? Well, life was tough. Harvests were only half as normal, or even less. The weather was uncooperative, the soil contrary. Even their best labor and technical skill afforded them only enough to barely squeak by, hardly enough even to eat. In short, life was very hard. But it needn't have been. After hearing God's word through Haggai, they finally realized that returning to God, putting him back in his rightful place at the forefront of their hearts and minds, giving him their time and labor, first of all, before working on their own homes and businesses, would result in God's blessing on literally everything. Giving God their time and attention enabled his blessing to flood them. That change of attitude resulted suddenly in bountiful harvests, beautiful weather, peace, prosperity, and good fortune in their daily lives. Surely, reading this experience of those Jews 500 years before Christ Jesus came reminds us of his teaching in Matthew 6:33. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Or in the King James Version, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Though the devil would have us believe otherwise, this world is hardly all there is, and this life is not a zero-sum life. There is not one pie that everyone has to share. God makes the pie, and he makes it bigger or smaller, depending on whether we live according to his rules or not. He creates food and stuff out of nothing. Are we following his laws, or are we lawbreakers? The lawlessness afflicting America, where victims are arrested and perpetrators have their charges dropped, where illegal aliens are given posh sanctuary while immigration and customs enforcement agents are attacked, even killed, is but a symptom of the lawlessness of so many of us, not just the woke left. For their attitudes and agendas, promoted incessantly by mainstream media, enshrined in a mindset that is frankly insane, as it cannot see fact from fiction, blind to the difference between male and female, refusing to acknowledge that there is anything above and beyond themselves, trickle in and infiltrate even Christians. Indeed, most of these devilish ideas first percolated in formerly mainline denominations and inevitably spilled out into the general culture. But this is hardly new. What did Peter warn in his second letter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3? There will continue to be false teachers who will secretly infiltrate in your midst to divide you, bringing with them their destructive heresies. They will even deny the Master who paid the price for them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow immoral lifestyles. Because of these corrupt false teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. They are only out for themselves, ready to exploit you for their own gain through their cunning arguments. Sounds like they have law degrees. They want to disrupt worship services. Then he says in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, in the last days, now, mockers will multiply, chasing after their evil desires. They will say, so what about this promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, yet everything is still the same as it was since from the beginning of time until now. One can easily imagine what these same pundits, talking heads on MS Now, CNN, etc., will say when the rapture of the church occurs. When millions of God's holy believers will be snatched up from the earth to meet Lord Jesus high up in the air. Oh, they'll say that aliens from other planets have come and taken those extremist troublemakers away to save the planet. Now we can live freely and finally forget that there ever was a mythical God. Yeah. But what does God's word say? His word is truth itself, and every prediction and prophecy has come to pass and is coming to pass exactly as Holy Spirit directed it to be written. 2 Peter 2:12, professional insulters who slander whatever they don't understand, and in their destruction, they will be destroyed. See all those screamers in the streets? Unless they repent, they'll be silenced, never to be heard again. For in God's master plan, all lawlessness will become lawfulness when Lord Jesus returns, and it is soon. Now take to heart and follow Peter's final charge to all of us in 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. As for you, divinely loved ones, since you are forewarned of these things, be careful that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your firm grip on the truth. But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory, both now and until the day eternity begins. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did appoint Peter as the first leader of your church, and that his words ring out to us even 2,000 years later. Help us by your dear Holy Spirit to live those words, to grow in grace and in closer intimacy with you, for that is the source of all truth and joy. In your name we pray. Amen.